this picture, see that picture? You're going to miss that. And you're going to miss this picture. Isn't that too bad? That's too bad.
You send me your PowerPoint, I'll
better not. Yeah, very good. Yeah. All right. Well, when I was a young teenager, my cousins introduced me to the Hardy Boys Mysteries. I didn't have a lot of free time, but I did manage to read a couple of the books, and one that I really liked was called The Tower Mystery. And in this story, the Applegate family, a wealthy family, lived in this mansion, and they had some of their valuables stolen. And of course, the Hardy Boys got swept up into the drama, and they followed a bunch of clues and finally ended up in the hospital room with a suspect. The suspect was dying. And just before he died, of course, he admitted that he was the one who had stolen those jewels. And he also, with his dying breath, told them that he hid them in the old tower. And he's gone. So the Hardy Boys went back. You know, the Applegate Mansion had a tower at one end of it, and so they dutifully searched the tower up and down completely to no avail. They did not find them. And so they thought, well, they would go to the place of this thief's former employment, which was a rail company, railroad. And on the way to this mission, they happened to see two water towers right beside the railroad, and a new one and an older abandoned tower. And of course, they went in there, and that's where they found the jewels. It was just fun. It was a fun read. And there's the picture of the book. Okay. The Star Wars series would not have the same draw without the long hidden plot involving Luke Skywalker and his father, Darth Vader, right? Right? When you learn the identity of Darth Vader, after almost growing up with Luke Skywalker, the plot sort of matures and it draws you in and in a new and fresh way for further attention. Well, where are we going with that? A few weeks ago, Patty and I were reading in 1 and 2 Timothy. And 1 Timothy 3 describes what Paul calls the mystery of godliness. And when I read that, I was thinking of the Advent season. And this is what I would like to introduce for us this morning. We're going to do a short Christmas series on the mystery of godliness. We've already prayed at least twice, at least three times this morning. Let's pray. That's a good idea. Let's pray. God, thank you. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. You know us very well, as Josh was sharing from us from Psalm 139. You know us. I just would ask you this morning to encourage us and give us a fresh hope and a fresh confidence. In Jesus' name I ask it, amen. Well, let's read. Oh, when I say let's read, I'm thinking you're going to see that up there. If you're about a Bible, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And I'll go a little slower here for you to turn your pages. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Paul writes this letter to Timothy, and he says, start in verse 14, I am writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. But in case I'm delayed, I write so that you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. And by common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated by the Spirit, beheld by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. And it was the first part of that verse 16 that caught my attention and reminded me again of this Advent season. The mystery of godliness starts this way. He who was revealed in the flesh. Who's that talking about? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. He was the one revealed in the flesh. God with us, Emmanuel. There's a debate about what this awkward verse means, verse 16, but at least one suggested meaning that it is referring to the beginning, the origin of godly character on this planet Earth. That isn't to say that there was nobody godly before Jesus, but it is to say that nobody was perfect before Jesus. There was no perfect glimpse of human perfection. Godliness became embodied. And we're going to look at that this morning. And remember, from our last series, you shall be godly because he is godly. Remember that. So here's what John says. If you want to slip over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John says, the Word, the full expression of God, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. John is speaking of himself and the other apostles. We beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Then slip down to verse 17, where he says, for the law was given through Moses. That is, the law also was a display of his righteousness. But grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ, or in Jesus Christ. In other words, John says, we learned what godliness looked like when we walked with him for 3 years. We saw it. We saw grace and truth in operation. And you think of the things that John writes about of the woman caught in adultery. We saw. And the other gospels that is recorded when they came and said, hey, they've tried to trap him. Is it right to give taxes, pay taxes? And he simply said, give me a coin. Whose inscription is that? Okay, you deal with that over there, but you give your heart to God. Wow. They saw grace and truth in operation. So what we want to focus on this Advent season is the mystery of God becoming a man. And this morning, I just want to do one thing. I want to develop with you this concept of the mystery, a biblical mystery. It's an odd phrase, and I just want to display the, or go through this a little bit. Just as with the Hardy Boys mysteries or with the Star Wars overarching plot, God has given some clues to his overall plan for 6,000 years. For the first 4,000 years, those clues were mostly about the Messiah. And after his death and resurrection and the formation of the church, and down to this present day, it is about the godliness that God wants to bring out of your life and my life. It is about the how and the why and the when those godly things come out of us as God, who has already gone before us and prepared good deeds for us to walk in, starts unfolding them, unpacking them. You get, oh, now I have an opportunity. You know, we might know what the overall will of God is for our lives. I want to do to others as I would have them to do to me. But then it comes down to that moment where my brother, my sister has a need, and I'm faced with, hey, maybe this is my moment. Maybe I'm supposed to help meet that need. And there is a mystery involved in that process. I like to think of it this way. Any of you mothers out there can remember in minute detail how things went at the birth of any one of your children. I have been to many birthday celebrations where it just happens to provide an opportunity for the mom to say, yeah, I remember that day, and it went like this and this and this and this and this. Some of us roll our eyes, others of us say, Mom, you told us before. But it was just a mystery. Now, she knew she was going to give birth. But when it came down to the day, she didn't know what she would be doing. She didn't know how she would feel. She didn't know the events that were around. And she did not know what it would be like to hold this one. How many of you had, Val? 9. Everyone was different. She didn't know what it would be like to hold the baby, because the baby was unique. And there have been a lot of comedies created about this, you know, of the excitement of the, you know, and all the crazy stuff that's done. Why should that have to be? You know it's going to happen. Yeah, but when it does, it's a mystery. It is quite an event. And so with biblical mystery, it is about a time and it's about a person. And at least the mystery of godliness is. In Genesis 3, we have God's eyewitness account of sin entering into mankind and therefore into the world. But on the very day, I think, of sin entering into the world, we read the first clue of the mystery of godliness. God says to the serpent who had deceived Eve, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He," that is her seed, "shall bruise you on the head." An alternate reason, alternate reading is, "He will crush you." He's going to crush your head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. In other words, Jesus would be inflicted with many sufferings as well. The story of the Bible is the story of the redemption of mankind. That's the story. It is God's story of carrying out his plan of redemption. It is the story of God, the one who is just, the one who is able to judge correctly, also becoming the one who justifies those who look to him for redemption. I think Tim's going to look at that a little bit next week. But there has been a mystery to this whole thing. Peter writes it this way. Oh, you can turn to 1 Peter 1 if you're fast enough. 1 Peter 1, verses 10 and 11. He writes, "As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful search and inquiry, seeking to know what person and time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating, as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow." It was a mystery to them. God was revealing things, but it was still hidden. And the prophets, one by one, the New Testament prophetic utterances started to unravel this. What I want to show you this morning is that the New Testament has a lot to say about this mystery. In Galatians 4, this is from verse 4, Paul writes this, "When the fullness of time came," get that? It's time. "The fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." Just like a mom reaching the end of a pregnancy, so there came a time, the perfect day, for God to send his son into the world. The beginning of the mystery of godliness in this world is the birth of Jesus. The Jews knew it was promised. They just didn't know when, and they did not know who. In a lot of Paul's writings, he brings into the timeline himself as part of revealing the unfolding of God's mysteries on this earth. And you can turn to Ephesians 3 if you brought a Bible. Ephesians was a letter written to a Gentile church, and so Paul writes this in chapter 3, verse 1. "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles," and then he goes into a long, paragraph-long, parenthetical phrase, if you will. He says, "If indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief." Now in this case, when he says what I wrote before in brief, he's just referring to the chapter before this. And he was talking there about the Jew and the Gentile becoming one in Christ in order that the church might become the light of the world. And so in verse 4, he says, by referring to this, that means referring to this revelation that he received from God directly, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. So, biblical mystery, actually the literal word in the Greek, really refers to simply an enlightenment of something that had been spoken. So God had all these promises. God said his seed will crush his head. And we don't really know what that means in the reading of Genesis. As you go along, God starts to reveal. That's what he's talking about here. Verse 6 says, to be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise of in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the work of his power. Verse 8. To me, Paul says, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages was hidden in God. God knew it all? We don't. We didn't. We didn't know it. He had it hidden. It was there. He gave the clues. We just didn't know it. And so in the New Testament, what Paul is saying is, through the church, God was revealing what all of these promises referred to. When you look at Paul's life, when you look at his conversion, first thing he did was to begin, especially when he went to any Jewish congregation, he began trying to connect those dots. Did you read that promise? This is what it means. Did you read that promise? This is what it means. All pointing to Jesus Christ. Okay, verse 10 says that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church. That is the mystery of what godliness really looks like is the responsibility of the church. That is our obligation and responsibility. If we do not behave in a godly fashion, the world will never know what godliness looks like. You know why we have such a cultural demise right now? It's because the visage of what godliness is has been marred. It's gotten murky. Some of it is the church's own fault. A lot of it is simply the culture that we live in and the spin that is put on things so that righteousness is no longer called righteousness, and Jesus foretold that also. But through the church, the manifold wisdom of God is to be made known to the world and also to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. And then he says, this was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. So God has a plan. He's had a plan to bring about godliness that, if you will, was stolen in the garden. He's had a plan to bring it back, and it's you and me. The mystery of godliness. So the mystery of God is simply that which he has planned for long ages, but which is carried out at its proper time. Mark's gospel, if you want to turn to Mark 1, Mark's gospel records the following in verse 14 and 15. It says, after John was taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. He's saying, the baby's here. I'm here. I am the one that was foretold. It is time. It is time to repent and believe. And we are still in that time today. If any of us have not repented, the time is today. Repent and believe in the gospel. There is also then a present-day mystery to the ongoing unveiling of the mystery of godliness. Jesus had a discussion with a man named Nicodemus about being born again. And the concept was kind of confusing to old Nick. So Jesus simply said, well, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from and where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. There is a mystery to godliness in our own lives, and God calls us to obey Him, and the various deeds that He has given us to perform reveal and unfold. Proverbs says the light of the righteous is like the dawn. It's brighter and brighter and brighter as our lives take on His image. 1 Timothy chapter 2 confirms this, and this would be down in verses 6 and 7 if you want to turn there. I don't know if I'll wait for people to turn there. I'm just going to read it. Paul says this, yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. And that's a little confusing still. What is this hidden wisdom? Maybe it's still hidden from me. I believe the most of what he's referring to, I believe, are the daily events that God calls you and me to. This is hidden. It is a mystery. I'm sorry I use this again, but it just always comes to mind. About 4 years ago, 5 years ago, when Tim and Kristen were coming back from Faith Walkers, they hit a deer. And when we brought them back to Decorah, they already had a vehicle sitting in the driveway for them to use. Adam and Sarah gave them a vehicle to drive. This is the godliness coming into view. Your neighbor sees a different vehicle. Hey, what's up? Where'd you get that? Oh, you know, my brother brought it over for me to use because they needed one. Wow. Yeah, that's it. In verse 9 of chapter 2, he says this, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. What things are those? The things like I just described. These are the discoveries of what the will of God is and the carrying out of them. A couple of weeks ago, Tim was talking about the cost of living in harmony. If it costs Jesus his life, it's going to cost you and me something also to live in harmony. That's this mystery. That is one of those things. It only makes sense to those of us who have been redeemed. The reason that it doesn't make sense to those who haven't been redeemed is that their orientation is towards selfish ambition, Romans 2 says. God has made your orientation and my orientation His will, His godly will. Hebrews 6 says, God is not unjust, and He won't forget the love that you have shown in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. He is not unjust. He won't forget it. And therefore, you and I have a different purpose than your common, unregenerate soul. Things make sense to us that don't make sense any other way. Any cost that is unfair now will be eternally repaid in glory. This is what we read in the Gospels. This is what Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount. You do something to be seen, you're done. You got it all. Somebody might pat you on the back and that's all you're going to get. You do something in the will of God that is not seen and nobody else knows about, and forever, it will be displayed. And that is also godliness. It is that eternal glory which equips us to be able to go against the grain of the flesh. It's the hope of glory. We march to the beat of a different drummer. We are a mystery to those around us because the basis for our lives is hidden with Christ in God. The world doesn't know us because it just doesn't know God. We see growth spurts in one another. You know, little things. We hear about them. We talk about them. Oh, isn't that cute? I heard somebody just gave somebody a computer they needed. Some of us have helped one another when we have financial needs. We hear about these little growth spurts when we respond. And then we see maturing in each other over the long haul. We see convictions develop in one another. This is godliness in action. But the beginning of the mystery of godliness is He who was revealed in the flesh. This is the one promised on the day that sin entered into the world and was born at the proper time. Let's pray. God, we marvel at your mystery. We are humbled by your sovereign plan to redeem us. We are really grateful. How blessed is the man, you said, who you have drawn near to yourself. How blessed is that person? I just want to ask you this morning that you would continue to enlighten moments of the birth of godliness in our lives. Inform us of your will in various situations. Thank you that you've swept us into your godliness, into your eternal plan. May you be glorified in us, in Jesus' name. Yeah.